You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. As always, I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just before we dive into today's episode, wanted to remind you guys that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to another episode here at the Locked On Rams podcast. This is your Tuesday episode. It's actually my second episode of the day. I'm recording my second episode today. Technically, the Monday episode I would usually record prior to, but I couldn't get to it on Sunday, so I did the Monday episode on Monday morning. This is now Monday evening, and I'm recording this episode for Tuesday morning or Tuesday in general, so I'm kind of warmed up and ready to dive right into it. And for the second time today, first time for you guys, we have some interesting topics to talk about. The first being Golden Tate, the former wide receiver of, you know, the Detroit Lions and a couple other teams, the Seattle Seahawks, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants. He mentioned that he actually would like to come play for the Rams and quarterback Matthew Stafford. So we're going to dive into whether or not that's a possibility and if it makes any sense whatsoever for either side. And then we're also going to dive into some projections from PFF for the yardage totals for the Rams on offense. Now, we got to get to the biggest news of the day, and that is the Golden Tate news. So Golden Tate, I guess, got into contact with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. And he had a quote where he said that he would either like to play with Matthew Stafford, where he enjoyed a lot of success, or he would like to go home back to Tennessee. I guess he's from Tennessee. He said Indy over with Carson Wentz. Obviously, the LA Rams would be fantastic with Stafford. I had my best years with Stafford. I really like the entire NFC West, to be honest. Now, does a guy like Golden Tate make any sense for the Rams? That is the question here. And I'm not necessarily sure that he does. Now, what he brings to the table is he's going to be a guy who is going to line up in the slot. That's where he plays 95% of his snaps, if not more. He's an advanced veteran type of player at this point in his career. I mean, he's nearly 33 years old. Probably wanting to try and go get a ring at this point in time. Not really going to want to play for bad teams, I'm assuming. But a guy who's very, very tough over the middle of the field. Strong hands. He's going to create a lot of yardage after the catch. That's where he's best at. And he plays primarily in the slot. This is a guy who you want to get the ball into his hands. Now, that sort of sounds like a lot of receivers that the Rams currently have. I mean, you're talking about Tutu Atwell, who fits that similar mold. You have multiple guys who are going to line up and be capable of producing in the slot in Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, even DeSean Jackson. I think all of these guys have the versatility to line up in the slot and create yardage and production there. So doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense on the get-go or on the surface there. But when you look at Golden Tate, he also brings in that ability to return punts. This is a guy who's been a very, very dangerous punt returner over the course of his career. It's been a while since he's been able to do it productively, really, dating all the way back to 2013 in Seattle when he had 585 punt returnage yards. That was his career high. But when you look at his years as a receiver in Detroit with Matthew Stafford, that's 2014 through 2017, 2018, halfway through the season he got traded. 2014, 1,331 receiving yards. 2015, 813 yards. 2016, 1,077 yards. 2017, 1,003 yards. And then in 2018, in seven games with the Lions, he had 517 yards. So in total, in 5 years in Detroit, he had 4,741 receiving yards on 416 receptions and 22 touchdowns. Clearly a guy that is capable of being a good player and a good receiver in the NFL. But I just think the Rams are way too loaded at the receiver spot for this one to make any sense. And not only that, there's only one more issue. And this one is a major, major issue. I don't know if you guys recall the game last year between the Rams and the Giants. Cornerback Jalen Ramsey did not take lightly to playing against Tate, and there was some extra oomph and some extra juice in some plays in that game where those two got nasty with each other. I don't know if you guys remember, but that play where Golden Tate caught a screen to the left side of the field, Jalen Ramsey literally tosses the blocker away and then forklifts Golden Tate. That was one of the most beautiful, clean, nice hits I've ever seen in football history over the course of my entire life. I promise you, that was one of the best self-efforts or one-man efforts that I've ever seen to blow up a play like that with pure physicality. I loved every second of it. But after the game, they also met up, I believe, at the logo and actually got into a fight and started throwing fists at each other. So clearly two guys that do not like each other. There's a lot of backstory to it as well. I believe that Jalen Ramsey had a child with Golden Tate's sister and they were together on and off and they aren't together anymore. And I'm not really sure what there is, you know, behind that and all that stuff. And we're not going to dive into it because that's not really our job here. But there's a lot of drama between the two. And why would the Rams bring in a Golden Tate when they have five really good receivers right now? Probably wouldn't even be able to find any time for Tate to play. And then you double down with this issue as well, maybe making Jalen Ramsey angry or, you know, displeasing one of your franchise cornerstones. Don't think that's realistic. I don't think that makes any sense. The Rams are going to prioritize Jalen Ramsey over pretty much anyone on the roster, maybe outside of Aaron Donald or maybe outside of the quarterback. This guy is like 25, 26 years old. They traded two first round picks and more for him. They paid him cornerback one money, and he is the best cornerback in football. They know they have to please Jalen Ramsey as much as possible to keep him as happy as possible. And right now, the relationship looks great. So there's no reason to try and tarnish that by adding a guy like Tate. And not only that, but I'm sure a lot of Rams fans still really dislike Tate for the stuff that he was doing when he was with the Seattle Seahawks. There were a couple of times where he was showboating versus the Rams, guys like Janoris Jenkins back in the day where, you know, he's catching a long touchdown. I'm not really sure what went on between those guys to make him want to do that, but there is some bad blood there in general with the franchise. So doesn't seem like a realistic option to me. I guess it's not necessarily off the table right now because maybe Stafford could talk the Rams into at least kicking the tires or something. Not sure, but I don't think this one makes sense. I don't think the Rams are necessarily going to pursue this. And I think that Golden Tate's probably going to have to find another way onto somebody else's offense because the Rams right now have a loaded wide receiver group. And that is what we're going to dive into in the next segment. We're going to take a look at PFF's predictions for yardage totals for the entire Rams offense. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMEP and the page at Locked On Rams. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NBA and NHL playoffs are live. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the second segment of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I appreciate you guys for listening to this episode. And we touched on Golden Tate and the potential that the Rams could maybe look to add a guy like that over this offseason or in the next few weeks to the team to strengthen their wide receiver core, but it's not very likely, and I don't think they will do it. But this segment will be dedicated to taking a look at the players that they do currently have on their roster right now, namely the five most important players on offense, the quarterback in Matthew Stafford, running back in Cam Akers, two wide receivers in Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and the starting tight end in Tyler Higbee. The PFF fantasy account, aka my other job, did release a prediction for where they think the Rams are going to fall in terms of the yardage totals here. And we may as well begin with the quarterback spot. Matthew Stafford, they currently have him pegged at 4,538 passing yards. And that is obviously a pretty good amount. Now, it's kind of hard to make exact comparisons to last year or years prior because, reminder, this is going to be a 17-game season, not a 16-game season, so there is one more extra added game of production here. But when you look at Jared Goff last year, he only threw for 3,952 yards, so another 600-ish yards on top of that in terms of the projection here, I think would be obviously very favorable for the Rams. I think that would lead to a much more productive passing offense, probably a better passing offense, maybe, you know, more explosives, that kind of stuff. And I think it's very close to being in line with Matthew Stafford and who he is as a quarterback. We don't know for sure how, you know, the Rams and Sean McVay are necessarily going to call this new offense. Is it going to be pass heavy? Is it going to be, you know, five wide shotgun heavy? Is it going to be a lot of 50-50 in terms of a little bit of pass, a little bit of run? We don't know for sure. What we do know, though, is Matthew Stafford in general, 4,500 yards. He's done that many times over the course of his career. Now, he hasn't done it since 2013, which is kind of weird because, you know, that's a pretty long time at this point in time. But I think it's been a lot of injury-related stuff that's kept him from getting there more often than not. He did have a 5,000-yard passing season in 2011, nearly another 5,000-yard season in 2012, 4,600 in 2013, and then 2014, 15, 16, 17, eclipses 4,300 yards in every single season. So it's very fair to expect 4,500 yards from Stafford this year. I think that definitely is a realistic projection. Now, moving on to the running back scenario here, they have Cam Akers at 1,377 total yards, not rushing yards, but total yards. So I think this one is also very fair. You look back to his rookie season, Cam Akers looked like a standout player. I mean, this is a guy who had 625 rushing yards last year on only 145 attempts. That's good for 4.3 yards per carry. That was about average. You know, that's like an average figure. Anything above 4.5 is good. Anything below 4 is bad. Anything in the 5 plus range is really, really good. Anything in the 5.5 range or higher is just downright elite. When you look at the playoff numbers, 46 rushing attempts, 221 yards for an average of 4.8 yards per carry. That was in two playoff games, obviously. So a guy that nearly had, you know, we're talking about 850, 860 rushing yards over the course of his entire rookie campaign, which would have been 15 games if you include both the regular season and the playoffs. So clearly a guy that is capable of getting to close to 1,000 rushing yards. And we're talking about his rookie season where he suffered a rib cartilage injury, which was completely freak and random in week 3, where he lands on the ball against the Eagles, misses a bunch of time. When he comes back, he's hardly used for like 3 or 4 weeks. I think that, you know, they were talking about the playbook slowly being picked up and, you know, he's understanding the offense a little bit more, which is why he started to get a few more touches later in the season. And then there was that explosion of a game against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football where it was finally the Cam Akers show and it looked like they were 100% comfortable with his healing, his health, and his ability and knowledge of the playbook and his ability to actually be the bell cow back. And the team never really looked back from there. So that was the turning point, I think. You look at the receiving yardage, only 123 receiving yards in the regular season last year on 11 receptions, was not used very often. In the playoffs, only 3 receptions for 51 yards. But I do think that this 1,377 yards total is a very fair expectation for Akers. I think Sean McVay has been a guy that, you know, he always talks about we want to include 2 or 3 running backs. We want to share the ball to a bunch of different guys. But at the end of the day, he's always found a way to make one guy his focal piece in the backfield and more or less be a bell cow type of running back. And, you know, he did that with Todd Gurley. He did that with CJ Anderson when Todd Gurley got hurt. He did that last year with Cam Akers at one point. He did it with Daryl Henderson last year a little bit when Cam Akers was hurt. And so there was a lot of, you know, coach speak in terms of we want to get everyone involved. And I do think to some degree they're going to try to get Daryl Henderson involved too. But I do think that there's going to definitely be a discernible difference between Akers and Henderson and whatever other running backs may carry the ball. And Akers, I think, will be used more in the passing game this year as well, because maybe Sean McVay's offense calls for it, maybe it doesn't. But I think the biggest difference is going to be Stafford understanding when he's going to have a mismatch coming out of the backfield versus Jared Goff, who I think didn't really let the game come to him. He was more of a pressing type of quarterback. And when things are good, that can be great. But when things are bad, it's not the best. And whereas, you know, you got a guy like Stafford, who I think reads the game better. He's got a better football IQ. And he's going to understand, you know, when it's man coverage and he's got a running back coming out of the backfield and he's getting covered by a 250-pound linebacker who may be not so good in coverage, then he's going to take that all day. Yeah, it might only be a 13-yard gain, but sometimes that kind of stuff is what you need just to move the chains or get a drive going and spark a drive. So I think Stafford is going to allow and unlock Akers to really be this bell cow running back, a guy who can contribute both as a receiver and a runner. And so I definitely do agree that he can reach that 1,300-yard threshold in this season. That is going to do it for this segment, but we're not done with the projections just yet. In the final segment, we're going to dive into the final three remaining projections for the two wide receivers in Woods and Kupp and the tight end in Tyler Higbee. And make sure to keep checking back in with us here at the Locked On Rams podcast throughout the rest of the week, because we're going to continue our offseason coverage for the Rams all season long. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I was on the lookout for the best protein bar while I was going through my weight loss journey, and I found a company called the Built Bar, and I'm telling you guys, the Built Bar is unlike any other protein bar on the market. They taste absolutely delicious. They have so many different flavors that you could choose from, and the texture is unlike any other protein bar I've ever tried. The bars are also healthy. They're low in calories. They're low in sugar. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber, and they even work for you on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Nets and 76ers have questions to answer. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment here of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. We're going to continue right where we left off in the final segment and dive into the remaining PFF projections here. And that does take us right into the receiver position, where I feel like these projections are probably the hardest to make. The first name up is Robert Woods, and PFF currently have him projected for 962 receiving yards this year, which on the surface probably seems like a relatively low amount, especially when you look at, you know, he's been with the Rams since 2017. And over the course of those four seasons, he's had 781, 1,219, 1,134, and 936 yards every season. The one with 700, he only played in 12 games that year. And you know, that was because I believe he had a shoulder injury, maybe a clavicle or a collarbone, something like that. He broke it and he missed four games. So he would have easily had 1,000 that season, or way more than 962 at least. So, you know, 962 seems kind of low. It would be the lowest he's had with the Rams in a healthy season, other than this last year where the Rams offense just wasn't good. But I do think it makes some sense because of the depth that they have at receiver. And I don't know what the projections are for the DeSean Jacksons, the Van Jeffersons, the Tutu Atwells, but I'm going to presume that, you know, with so much depth there, that it's likely going to eat into a little bit of the production from guys like Woods and Kupp. And so it makes sense that, you know, Woods is a little bit lower than expected, and Kupp might be too if you consider 1,066 receiving yards low for a guy of his caliber, which may be the case. I mean, he's crossed 1,000 yards with the Rams once, and that was in 2019, and he might have did it in 2018, but he got hurt. Obviously torn the ACL, only played in eight games that year. The rookie season, 869 yards, very good. And then this past season in 2020, 974 yards. So both Woods and Kupp are pretty close to their last year's totals in terms of these projections. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I think the passing game is going to be more productive, and you can get a little bit of a boost out of that. But the issue is the depth just became so much more significant for the Rams here, and they have so many more options in terms of the tight end two, tight end threes, the dual running back threats, the five wide receivers. It's going to be hard for everyone to be individually dominant, but I do think in general as a whole, they are going to be much better. And so that makes sense why Matthew Stafford has a lot more passing yardage in his projection here than Jared Goff had last year. But at the same time, a guy like Woods or a guy like Kupp maybe don't have so much more yardage than they had last year, because I feel like it's going to be a spreading of the wealth this season. And that takes us into the final projection here. Tyler Higbee, the tight end, maybe the hardest projection to make, because we have no idea how much Sean McVay likes or doesn't like to use these guys. One week it feels like he's featuring a tight end, the next week it feels like he doesn't even know that the position is out there on the field. And that's why I think this projection makes a lot of sense. 660 yards is what PFF has him down for, and that is not a lot, obviously. That would be, I mean, the second most in his career, at least. You look at 2016 through 2020, he's only topped 660 receiving yards one time, and that was in 2019 when he had 734. And if you guys recall, that season was weird where Brandon Cooks gets hurt, and then someone else gets hurt, and someone else gets hurt, and Tyler Higbee has that five-game stretch to end the season where he just explodes and goes onto the scene. But other than that, he's never really crossed 521 yards, and that was the most that he had last year other than that 2019 season. So I think 660 in terms of his projection this year would be a little bit kind. I do expect it, though, because somebody in the starting lineup is likely going to receive a boost from playing with Stafford, and they don't have Woods in that role yet. They don't really have Kupp in that role yet, and we don't really know how much of a split they have between Cam Akers in terms of his rushing yardage versus his receiving yardage. So he's probably not going to be the main beneficiary there either. That does leave one guy in the starting lineup there, and that's tight end Tyler Higbee. So I do think Tyler Higbee is likely going to be the guy that maybe receives the biggest boost of playing with Stafford or DeSean Jackson, but it's very hard to project this kind of stuff. We don't know what the rotations are going to look like, the playing time, the targets, the snaps. It's so hard to say right now, and especially when you throw in injuries and that kind of stuff, now an extra game too. It's already hard enough for guys to last 16 games in the NFL. Never mind adding a whole nother game. That's just going to make it that much harder for everyone to suit up 17 times. And that does complicate things in terms of the projection, obviously. But it is a fun exercise. It's fun to see, you know, companies like this actually project certain metrics. And I think ultimately, this does look favorable for the Rams. It's pretty much right in line with where most guys were in terms of Woods, Kupp, and Higbee. But at the same time, you're going to get a stronger season out of your quarterback, a running back that's really going to develop into one of the better running backs in football with a yardage total that is very respectable. I think this is pretty much right in line with what I expect and probably similar to what most of you guys expect as well. And this does bode well for the Rams because I think that, you know, if things stay on track and most guys can stay healthy, or at least the most important players can stay healthy for the majority of the season, and they can gel a little bit quicker than maybe some other teams have in the past years, they have a chance to be a top five offense. And I think these projections are ultimately right in line with the idea that the Rams may field a top five offense in 2021. That is going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for tuning into another episode here and listening to your boy at the Locked On Rams pod. Make sure to check back throughout the rest of the week. We're going to continue our coverage here throughout the offseason for the Los Angeles Rams. Just a reminder, you can come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP and at Locked On Rams. And please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.